So as we head into the message this morning, the title of this message is Planning Ahead, the Power of Vision. Next week, we are going to begin the book of Hebrews, a verse-by-verse study through it. Today is our last topical message for just a little while. So Planning Ahead, the Power of Vision. So as we have already entered 2025, Mike, is the recording, or is the recording going? Thank you. I'm so used to saying Mike. We got someone, Billie Jean, thank you. Let me ask you, have you sought out a vision for your life for this upcoming year? Have you sought out God's heart and what it is that He wants for you? I assure you that He wants something for you. When 2025 ends, in how many days? 359. What will you have accomplished for God in 2025? Will you let another year roll off without doing or contributing anything significant for His glory? Or will you have scaled mountains and brought down giants to the glory of God? I pray that it's the latter. Now, I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions. Those are usually broken 3 days after New Year's. Though I believe it is good to set goals. However, I am talking about asking, seeking, and discovering what God wants to do in and through your life. If no one has told you lately, let me remind you, you are here for a purpose. But you have to discover that purpose and then develop a plan how you're going to get there. When we talk about vision, there are two general types. One is a vision with the spiritual curtain pulled back, if you will, such as visions of angels singing or maybe the throne room of God. This is the type the Apostle Peter had, the Apostle Paul had when he went to the third heaven. He saw the third heaven and then the realm of God. The other type of vision is of something occurring in the future, but it hasn't happened yet. This is the kind that I want to talk to you about briefly today. Have you ever heard the phrase? It's usually on a Disney commercial. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. This is not that kind of vision. It's not imaginary, such as pretend or make believe. The vision that I'm talking about is the imagined goal, the imagined goal that you can see in your heart. It is something with victory attached to it through God's grace. It is something clothed in faith. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 11, verse 1, now faith, stare at this, like just capture these, this truth. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. This is different than imagine the possibilities. This is a description of how it works in the kingdom of God when we have a God-given vision. We begin to thank Him for it. We begin to see it in our minds and in our hearts, believing in faith on God's power to achieve it through us. Without a vision, we are destined to wander in mediocrity and end up no place further next year than we began this year. And God wants more for us, I assure you. Because God is the one who wrote Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You see, without a vision, people perish. They just wander aimlessly. This statement is as true for each of us as it is for a corporation or even a nation. We've got to have a vision. What is the vision that God has given you this year to reach for? Well, maybe this is the first time you've even thought about it. There is no vision. I've got no vision. That's okay. We're just getting started. It's just January the 5th. But we need to get going on discovering what the vision is that God has for each of us. I'm going to talk to you about getting a God-given vision at the end of this message. But first, let's talk about what we do with the vision that God gives us. So this is our first point. What do we do once we have the vision? Well, in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, this is very important if you're taking notes. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. This is so important to write down the vision that you have, or the vision that God. This isn't just a figure of speech. Literally, write it down. If God has already given you a vision of something you are to do, to accomplish or be, then great. Write it down. Place it on sticky notes everywhere that you visit a lot, in your house or your car or your work. Put it on every mirror. Put it on the dashboard of your car, even your phone screen. You don't need the picture of that cute little dog on your phone. Put the vision God has given you so that it's in the forefront of your mind. And then meditate on the vision. You know what I mean? I don't mean crossing your legs and doing the Yogi Bear thing, you know, with your hands up. I know it's not Yogi Bear. I know it is. But there's no, like, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you to meditate. Get in your mind the victory of that vision, crossing the finish line. What is it going to look like after you have accomplished the vision that God has given you? Get that picture in your mind and just think about it. Think about it. I'm going to talk on imagination a little bit more this year, but it's so important. God has given us a wonderful mind to imagine great things. And every great thing has begun in the imagination first. It's begun in the vision. Meditate and think upon it. Close your eyes and see yourself accomplishing it. Cut out a picture if it helps your imagination. And put it around your house. For instance, on the refrigerator. If God has given you a vision to get healthy, take your face, cut out one of those healthy people we see in magazines and paper and stuff, paste your face on it, put it on the refrigerator. And every time you're tempted to go get that banana and peanut butter in the middle of the night, just look at that picture and say, would that person reach for this banana peanut butter right now? I'm telling you, it works. This isn't New Age mumbo jumbo. This is works. We need to be able to imagine the vision that God has put for us. If you want to get healthy, put a picture of a healthy person up there and then put your face on there. Let me, or maybe the medicine cabinet. How about that? How about a picture of what it would look like at the end of 2025 when you're not on any more medication? Wouldn't that be pretty cool? No more high blood pressure pills. No more high cholesterol pills. No more type 2 diabetes pills. No more metformin. No more, like, we've gotten so healthy that we're not reaching for the medicine cabinet anymore. Isn't that a great vision? God wants us to have healthy lives. He wants us to be usable for the kingdom. If you're sick all the time, don't have enough energy to do anything, get healthy. God will use you. God will use you. My second point. So why do we do this? It's because vision precedes victory. Vision brings focus. I spoke about David last week, young David, the giant killer. I mentioned that Goliath was approximately 9.9 feet tall. That's pretty big. He had a bronze helmet, a bronze spear. and a bronze chest plate. David didn't see himself small or helpless. In fact, if you remember the story of Samuel going to look for Israel's first king, or was it second king to replace Absalom, he went to David's family. God told him, go to David's family, you're going to find the king there. And as Samuel went, and he said to David's father, hey, bring out all your sons. I'm going to anoint one of them to be the king of Israel. And so David's dad brought out the first one. Big, young, strapping guy. This would make the perfect king in our eyes, as that's what we would have thought. But Samuel goes, no, that's not the one. Let's go. And he just moved on down the line through all of David's family, all of his brothers. Finally, Samuel's like, man, that's weird. God told me I was going to find the king in your household. Is there anybody else that you haven't brought forth for me to anoint today? He goes, well, there is one. And he uses a Jewish term called hakatan. And the word hakatan means runt, as in the runt of the litter. Have you ever seen the runt in the litter? You have all the healthy dogs, and then you got the runt. His own dad called him the runt. Small little guy out tending the sheep somewhere in the backwoods. Surely not him. Samuel goes, bring him here. Brought him here. God says, that's the one. That's the next king of Israel. Samuel anoints him. David, at that time, was given the vision as the next king of Israel. He was ordained in that moment. But nothing had changed about his physical stature. He was still a small little guy. So when he went to fight against Goliath, he didn't see himself as the runt of the family, the hakatan. He saw himself as a warrior of God, because it wasn't through his strength that anything was going to be accomplished. It was through God's strength. It was a God-ordained vision that David had faith in. And you know what happened? David picked up five smooth stones, threw one of them right between Goliath's eyes, and took him down. By the way, do you know how many brothers Goliath had? He had six. David had enough smooth stones for each of Goliath's brothers. Pretty cool. That was for free. There was another incident in the Bible. Have you heard about Nehemiah? So Israel had been taken into captivity. They were completely decimated. The city was destroyed. The beautiful city of Solomon was destroyed. Rubble. Nothing but hyenas living there, and a few scattered people the Babylonians left behind. A guy named Ezra had a vision that God gave him, rebuild the city. So he began pressing to rebuild the city. A guy named Nehemiah came after him. God gave him a vision, build the walls. Now, you got to understand, at this point, the walls were completely decimated. To build these walls would take an enormous amount. It'd take an army of men. Nehemiah just had a handful. Nehemiah went, and he began building that wall. And everything possible that Satan could throw at him came against him, to the point where they had to hold a sword in one hand, and they had to build the wall and plaster it with the other. He got that wall built in a little over 50 days. A true miracle. God had given him a vision, and he held on to that vision, and no matter what the enemy threw at him, he accomplished it. He held on to that vision. So a vision helps to bring focus. It keeps us from being distracted by lesser things. And vision inspires action. A clear vision motivates us to take steps of faith, even when challenges arise. David saw himself as a king, and though his path to kingship was probably different than he thought, David still knew that God had ordained him to be king, and the vision of himself as king kept him from retaliating against Saul and despairing when things got rough. He's like, I don't know how God's going to do this, but God is going to do it. He knew that God had ordained him, and that vision propelled him through the difficulties he would face. Let me ask you this morning, what distractions or fears are keeping you from pursuing God's vision for your life? Keep focused on the vision and God's power to bring it forth. And you will have a year like you've never had before. So the third point to a vision is called the fulfillment of vision. The key verse is in Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you know that God is working in your life to make you into somebody you have no idea who it is? And I'm talking about your potential. I'm talking about your spiritual potential. God wants to do some amazing things in your life. He has begun. You are his masterpiece. You are his workmanship. And he's not going to give up on you until he's completed it. Now, you can step out in the sidelines and just say, hey, this is too scary for me. And you'll miss what God has set up for you. Because God completes what he starts. If the vision is from God, he will provide the resources, the people, and the opportunities to accomplish it. But patience and faith are key. God's timing often differs from ours. Stay faithful even when the vision seems delayed. There's a story in the Bible about Joseph. Has anybody heard of Joseph? God gave Joseph a vision when he was a young boy. It was a vision of all his brothers and his family bowing down to him. What God was telling him is that one day he was going to be in a position to lead his family. Well, Joseph began bragging to his brothers about that vision. Hey, I had a dream. And in that dream, you're not going to believe this, but all you guys, you are bowing down to me. How cool is that? What do you think their response was? Oh, yeah? Well, we're going to get rid of you. And they took Daniel and they threw him in a pit. They told his dad that he got eaten by a lion, threw blood all over this pretty robe that his dad had given him. And then they sold him into slavery. Most of you know the story. I'll condense it. So here, God has given him a vision. And now Joseph finds himself in slavery. Not just slavery. He was in slavery in Egypt. He'd been carried out of his land to a whole other land. While there, he was accused of rape. He didn't. He was thrown into prison. While in prison, he helped reveal some dreams to some of the other prisoners. They got set free. Well, one of them did. One of them lost their head. But he told them it was going to happen. But there he was. And they didn't thank him for it. All this time, Joseph was down there. He must have wondered, well, this doesn't seem like the dream God gave me, but I'm going to stay true. I'm going to continue to trust in God. I'm not going to just throw in the towel, because I believe that God is going to deliver me. And God did deliver him. God delivered him out of there. In fact, gave him so much favor when he was brought out of there, he was made into the second highest ruler in the whole land of Egypt. And here he was, a Hebrew. It's an amazing story, but it's a story about God completing the work. When God says he's going to do something, he's going to finish it. We may have to wait, we may have to be patient, but God will do it. Let me ask you this morning, are you willing to trust God's timing and his ways? Rest in the assurance that he is faithful to fulfill his promise. So I want to conclude this message. So how do you do it? Well, here's how you do it. You ask God to reveal his vision for your life. It's a simple prayer. It's a simple request. I want to take a minute, and I want to have everybody in here just close your eyes. And I want you to ask God what His vision for your life is this year. Just think about it. First thing that comes to your mind, don't start asking, God, was that you? No. God, what is your vision? And I'm going to be quiet here so you can hear Him. Whatever the first thing was that popped into your mind, I'm going to challenge you to write it down. It's a piece of paper. You can use the offering envelopes, a little pencil. Just write it down. It may be one word. Often God speaks in one word, one syllable words. If you didn't hear anything or a picture didn't pop into your mind, that's okay. Keep asking Him. Ask God to make it plain. And then begin taking small steps toward it. I mean, when you leave church today, begin taking action steps toward it. Now, it might not be an audible voice that you heard. Sometimes God speaks with impressions or a strong prompting in your spirit that aligns with Scripture. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 37, verse 4, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Many people think this verse is about kind of a name it and claim it gospel. But really it speaks to God shaping the desires of your heart. God will give you the desires of your heart. The things, the images, the vision that I have in my heart that are being shaped by God are the desires of God that He has placed in my heart. In the next few days, someone may say something to you and it registers in your spirit like, whoa, yeah, I never thought about that. That may be God using somebody else to speak to you. He often does that. God may give you an image or a picture of you doing something here in 2025. That may be God speaking. That may be the vision that God has given you. Again, that aligns up with Scripture. I had a vision that I'm supposed to open a bar. Probably not. Probably not from God. Sure, it lines up with Scripture. Well, what if I feel like, you may be asking me this morning, what if I feel like He wants me to get healthy or to stop sugar or binge watching Judge Judy? How does that qualify for doing something for God? That seems like it's kind of for me. Well, Colossians 3, 23 through 24 says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." Whatever you do, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You may think that losing weight or getting healthy is your idea or your doctor's idea. It might be, but it might also just be from God. Maybe you had the bright idea to learn a new language this coming year, or learn an instrument. Was that your idea or God's? You might not know, but whatever you do, do it for the Lord. Do it to please Him, to make yourself usable for the kingdom. Because if it's from God, He will impart His grace. It may be hard, like with Nehemiah. It may be hard and met with resistance. This is not an indication that it is not from God. Sometimes obedience is hard. And the devil doesn't want us to receive blessings and rewards. You know, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but Jesus' mom had to ride a donkey all the way to Bethlehem when she was about to give birth. That's pretty hard to do, wasn't it? They were being obedient. Sometimes obedience is hard. Ask God to confirm a vision or an idea that has suddenly sprouted into your imagination. But get going while waiting for the confirmation. If we're talking about this in July, I'm still sitting around waiting for the confirmation. I would dare suggest it's already happened. If you're off course, God is going to order our steps. A man plans his way, but God orders the steps. I want to close with this in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That is the fuel for the vision that God has given you. It's good. It's to prosper you. It's not to bring difficulty in your life. It's to bless you. It's to make you usable for the kingdom of God. To sanctify us. To make us holy. To bring us into His presence more often. To, look at that again. To prosper you. And not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. What is the vision that God has placed in your heart for 2025? This year will be over before we know it. Last year I talked about leaving a legacy. Was there an effort made towards that, leaving a legacy? When you're gone, what is it that people are going to say about you and remember about you? You're alive right now. Be a good time to hear it. What is this vision for you for 2025? If you need help finding it, come see me. Give me a call. Go, Rob, I'm missing the vision. I feel like God hasn't given it. I'll help point it out to you. I bet He has given it. Just haven't recognized it yet. Amen. Let's make 2025 the best year we've ever had. I've got a vision for this church I believe the Lord has given me recently. I'm excited to see the Lord fulfill this vision. I really am. I've got a vision for me, a vision for my family, and I'm taking steps towards fulfilling that vision. If it's not from God, He'll order my steps. He'll change the direction. He has a plan to prosper me. He doesn't want to see me shoot for something that I had no idea I couldn't ever achieve. You know? Amen? All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, truly, we perish without a vision. We get lost. We wander off. Father, I pray that everyone that's listening to this message today and everyone that's here today, You will give a Holy Spirit-inspired vision for their life, to make them usable for the kingdom of God, for Your glory, to make their bodies, get their bodies healthy for Your glory, to build relationships and learn new talents and languages for Your glory, that we may, all that we may do would be for Your glory. And then, God, I pray that You would confirm those visions and begin just sending confirmations coming from all over the place. Like, yep, You're on track. Then give us a picture in our imaginations of what it's going to be like when we accomplish that vision, the purpose and the desires that You have placed in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd protect everybody going home. Protect our homes and our cars, our health. And God, that you would shine brightly in 2025. I believe this is the year of your favor and year of abundance. God, you've placed it in my spirit. I can sense it. And God, I'm so excited to see what you unveil in 2025. Not only for me and my family, but for this church and everyone that's sitting here today. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Again, I want to encourage you to, if you can, just stay for some lasagna. I'm pretty sure there's enough to go around.